Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Day of December 2014. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go to jump into the chat room where there's already a happy little crowd gathered and chatting along. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy. Loud and clear on TuneIn. Much obliged. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, News Ninja Carol Baker. Good evening, Devin. Good evening, Jan and Jerry. Good evening, Jeremy. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Lance and Sergi and Texas T. Good evening to our longtime veteran chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. Sparky is teleporting between his ordinary login and man cave. It is apparently raining some more. Raining, that is, not here, but in California. We had an exquisite little day today. Got up near 60 degrees, bluebird skies, didn't even need a light jacket. It was lovely. Just a delight. And, of course, if you want to get the live stream on your PC, just go right to headonradionetwork.com. If you're on an iDevice, an Android, whatever, smart, Midland, we recommend the apps from Stitcher and TuneIn, as well as the Utunes app over at the Apple App Store. Now, being as how it is the 15th day of December, do please bear in mind that, it's Moran Monday. And Moran Monday is the beginning of any given brand new week here on the Horn. And we are running downhill. This is the 15th. The 15th or the 16th on a 31-day month is the end of the month, or the middle of the month, rather. So we're now running downhill toward the end of December, and we are, thanks to Betsy, and thanks to Janie, and thanks to Tom's Challenger Friday, we're actually out in front of fundraising for the week. So if we can stay that way, it would be wonderful. The PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com. And remember, the wild rice premium is out there for any who wish to take advantage of it. If you want to make a $100 contribution to the Horn, it will be met, or you will be thanked with a hand-processed pound of wild rice from the pristine waters of the shores of Lake Superior in northwest Wisconsin. Yes indeed. From tribal lands. All you have to do is give me an address to ship it to. It is en route to me, and I in turn will be turning it around and sending it out to y'all. So it will happen. I hope to have it in everyone's hands by the holidays. So, just kind of waiting with that. Let's see. No, yes, there we go. Yeah, Moran Monday. Oh dear. We are not found wanting. Not in the least for subject matter today. Oh no.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morons.
Yes, indeedy.
Hello.
That's right. Step right up. Hurry. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. Yes, indeed. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will hear Morans of all varieties. Right-wing Morans, teabagging Morans, birther Morans, deather Morans, tenther Morans, booger-eating Morans, bircher Morans, libertarian Morans, pig-licking Morans, one and all. Warning going out to people entering the Moran Monday tent to hang on to small children and all purses and bags, as the Morans, being repiglicans, can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, yeah. You kind of saw this one coming from a ways off as soon as the announcement was made. Count Dicula, and we must always remember to thank Jim for that line. Count Dicula decided to make an appearance over to meet the prostitutes and Chuck Todd, whom I like to now refer to, given his performance this past Sunday, simply as Renfield. Yeah. The pitches are a lot harder on the college women's softball circuit than the softballs tossed by Chuck Todd to Richard B. Big Time Dick Genie before he dicks you. Yep. Oh, golly Moses, let's turn the Calliope off there for a minute. Yeah, goodbye, Calliope. Yes. Dick Cheney thinks we're all a bunch of fagoots for not recognizing that torture is really fun for him. I mean, you know, he starts thinking about torture, and his withered old member jumps like a snake in a microwave. Yeah. Tell us about it, Dick. Doesn't like it when people criticize the torture program. Yeah. Why? Oh, because it was really good for him. Liked it a lot. So did, and that decent human being's heart in his chest is even beginning to kind of enjoy it. Yeah. Right. Now, fan. Just waiting for the ad to run. It's one of the curses now. You can't leave the audio just queued up and ready to go.
The other day, I won't use the word on your show. It may be family. It's a crock. It's not true. And
have you read
more
of the report?
I've read parts of it. Okay. Not the whole report. Hasn't even been released.
Right. All 6,000 of the 500 page. This is the executive summary.
The summary. Go read what the directors of the agency said about the report. They were extremely critical of it, as were the Republicans who served on the committee. It's a flawed report. It didn't begin to approach what's required by way of responsible oversight.
I mean, it didn't even have the really juicy parts in there where they plugged me up and let me watch it remotely. And oh, the pustules and fissures. Oh, it was wonderful. I wanted to go down there and lick one of them.
Does it plant any seed of doubt in you, though?
No.
No seed of doubt at all?
Absolutely not.
Of this information in here, no seed of doubt that whether this worked or not?
It worked.
Can you hear the tough questions coming from Renfield? Yes, Master.
It absolutely did work.
Let me ask you, what do you say to...
Yes, it absolutely did work. I got the closest to an erection that I've had in 40 years, and I was as big a stiffy I got since my fifth deferment from the draft when I found out some black kid from Watts was going to go and die in my place in Vietnam. Oh, man. Am I?
Fond memories.
Gul Rahman, what do you say to Suleiman Abdallah? What do you say to Khalid al-Masri?
I say they're filthy Arabs, and it'd be fun to torture them again sometime.
Three of these folks were detained. They had these interrogation techniques used on them. They eventually were found to be innocents. Mm-hmm. They were released. No apologies. Nothing. What do we owe them?
Well,
what is it? Does this? I mean, let me go to.
Ask not what your torture victims. Ask not what you can do for your torture victims. Ask what your torture victims can do for you. Come on back, boys. I thought it was really good, didn't you? It's good for me. Next time we'll go for something besides hummus and pasta and pine nuts. And maybe really go the full 9.5 weeks.
Gul Rahman, he was chained to the wall of a cell, doused with water, froze to death in CIA custody, and it turned out it was a case of mistaken identity.
Right. But the problem I have is with all the folks that we did release that end up back on the battlefield. Of the 600 and some people who were released out of Guantanamo, 30% roughly ended up back on the battlefield.
Yeah, imagine if we'd only frozen them to death. That's the problem I have. We're not torturing and freezing enough people to death. You know, the nice thing about freezing them to death is that you can enjoy them later. Yes. Yes, you can.
Today we're very concerned about ISIS, a terrible new terrorist organization. It is headed by a named Baghdadi. Baghdadi was in the custody of the U.S. military in Iraq, in Camp Buka. He was let go, and now he's out leading the terror attack against the United States. I'm more concerned with bad guys who got out and released than I am with a few that, in fact, were innocent.
25%.
Well, you know, innocent. Dead. If you're going to make an omelet, you're going to have to torture a few people in the rack and rectally feed them and electrocute them and play loud Barney music at them for a while and put them in stress positions and hang them from the ceiling. That's how I like my omelets.
Of the detainees, though, 25% turned out not to have, turned out to be innocent. They were innocent.
Where are you going to draw the line, Chuck? How
well,
are you going to know?
Is that too high? Is that, you're okay with that margin for error?
I have no problem as long as we achieve our objective. And our objective is to get the guys who did 9/11, and it is to avoid another attack against the United
States. And, of course, we didn't get the guys who did 9/11, but, you know, frankly, that's not really the objective now either, is it? No, the objective is, well, I think I went through a couple of bottles of Jergens there over a couple of months when they had the live video feed hooked up, and we'll just say that was the objective. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I started wanting that bleach shower. Oh, long about Sunday morning. You don't have to worry about Dick Cheney wandering around doing his Lady Macbeth in an out damned spot. Oh no, oh no, hell no. Dick Cheney, he's walking around. Spots. I want more spots. Bring me more spots. What a monster. If I was a praying person. And, you know, people pray for a lot of different things, you know, health, they pray to win the lottery, they pray to see, some people pray to see tomorrow. I'm sure that, and some people even pray to shuffle off this mortal coil because of the agonies being inflicted on them. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a little bit of that praying going on in the whole torture scenario. But me, if I was a praying person, I would fall asleep every night saying, "Dear God, if there is any justice in this world, if you have any interest in justice in this world, if you care about your creation, If you exist, dear God, please, please, fix it so Dick Cheney winds up being charged with all the war crimes he committed. Fix it so that he and that decent human being's heart beating away in his chest stand in the dock at The Hague and answer for their crimes. He, George Bush, kind of Sleazy Rice, Wolfowitz, Gonzalez, John Yoo, all of them, God, please. Because, you know what's really disturbing? Did we ever learn anything about the donor of the heart that's beating away inside Dick Cheney's chest? What if that was some young man's heart? What if that was a perfectly healthy 22-year-old heart? Dick Cheney could live to be 150 and evade justice during that entire time. And there's no remorse. I mean, there's no doubt that if you put Dick Cheney in the dock in The Hague to answer for crimes against humanity, he would have every opportunity to say whatever he wanted to say. And you know what? He would convict himself. I seem to have gotten under the skin of Jeremy in Vermont. Excuse me, Dick, but if you fully believe the 9/11 story, the people who did it are all effing dead, you stupid, bald little prick. Yeah. Well, they're dead now, but it wasn't like that when they were getting there. Yeah, I've wondered about that, Carol. Carol says, I get the feeling Dick either pushed to the head of the donor line or they took one of them young, strong, Muslim hearts from a torture victim. Never know. Nah, Dick would never allow himself to have a Muslim heart. He might be afraid it'd suddenly make him want to bow toward Mecca or something. I'm sure this was a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing heart. Hey, 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 hey. So, there's that. Yeah. And then something that Tom and Carol both let me know about. Effigies lynched in three different places on the University of California Berkeley campus. Berkeley? Berkeley? Yeah. Which goes hand in glove with a little something that came to light yesterday afternoon. You know about the hashtag Black Lives Matter. It has been hotly trending on the interweb tubes. It is that and I Can't Breathe. People trying to drive across the point in this, what passes for a culture, that police atrocities have gotten completely out of hand. Enter San Jose Police Officer Philip White. Yes, the goddess of irony is overtime. Philip White. He's been tweeting. He took to the Twitters to threaten people who use the hashtag Black Lives Matter. He changed the hashtag to Cops Lives Matter. Among other things, he said, If anyone feels they can't, and it was referencing the I Can't Breathe hashtag, if anyone feels they can't breathe or their lives matter, I'll be at the movies tonight off duty carrying my gun. Really? Not kidding. And he also saw a photograph of University of California Berkeley women's basketball players. They were wearing T-shirts that put bore the names of African American men who had been killed by police officers. This infuriated Officer White, who said, "This is BS. Free education. Don't forget who's paying for your school at Cal WB Ball. Me and other California tax-paying cops." Because only the cops pay for the basketball scholarships at Cal Berkeley for the women's basketball program. I had no idea. Sparky will love this one in particular. Apparently, Officer White is a weather bug, too. I mean, he's an amateur meteorologist. "Nothing like some torrential rain and wind to quell a protest. Let's see how important this really is to them when they're drenched." Yeah. That's just a couple of them. But more... Well, there was this one. "Threaten me or my family, and I will use my God-given and law-appointed duty to kill you." Yeah, San Jose Police Department Officer Philip White. San Jose Police Department spokesperson Heather Randall said, "We have forwarded the matter up the chain of command for review. We can provide a response upon the completion of the review process." What's the review process going to be? Yeah, Mr. Given, God-given right. He has a God-given right to be a police officer and a God-given right to kill anybody he doesn't like. Yeah, he wrote that. God-given. So we got that. And then there's something that happened in Texas, Stan. A 76-year-old man driving a car with dealer tags. I'll bet you Carol knows about dealer tags. Apparently in Texas, dealer tags mean that you don't have to have a current inspection sticker because it's actually not a sold vehicle yet. It's sitting on the lot. Reminds me, I got to go get my sticker. 76-year-old Pete Vasquez was taking a car back to the lot when he was pulled over by 23-year-old Officer Nathaniel Robinson in the Victoria area, apparently. Did I mention 76 years old? And his dash cam caught it all. There's really not a lot to be heard. It's mostly visual. But if you watch, thank you, Carol. I do know about dealer tags, Carol says, and you don't have to have a current inspection. You're right, Bob. Yay. Well, that's what 76-year-old Pete Vasquez tried to explain to 23-year-old Nathaniel. Nathaniel Robinson. For his trouble, Nathaniel Robinson threw 76-year-old Pete Vasquez, all on a charge of no inspection sticker, mind you, threw him onto the hood of his car, roughed him up, and then threw him to the ground and tasered him. Yeah. Twice. He didn't taser him good enough the first time, the 76-year-old guy. Now, Police Chief J.J. Craig later personally apologized to Pete Vasquez. He said, "Public trust is extremely important to us. Sometimes that means you have to take a real hard look at some of the actions that occur within the department." Notice the sometimes. "You want to make sure you give the right kind of person a badge and a gun." Except they didn't. They gave it to 23-year-old Nathaniel Robinson, who wanted to charge a guy with a crime that he hadn't committed, and tasered him in the process. This was all done in front of witnesses. Larry Urich is the sales manager at the car lot. He said he wants the officer fired. Of course, that just means he'll go and be a cop somewhere else. Urich said, "I told the officer, 'What in the hell are you doing? This gentleman is 76 years old. The cop told me to stand back, but I didn't shut up. I told him he was a goddamn Nazi stormtrooper." Who had 6:27 p.m.? Year-old Nathaniel Robinson could possibly, maybe, be charged with aggravated assault, injury to the elderly, and official oppression if the department determines that he violated the law. Of course, it's up to the department to investigate the department. Yeah, Lottie in the chat room. Well, Ferguson's down one cop. They'd probably hire him. The story's at Raw Story if you want to watch the video. It's pretty shocking. Just, another day in Merca. Or exceptional Merca. As Ron and Raleigh notes, oh, stand by, sneeze coming on. Hopefully that was the only one. Ron and Raleigh says, "I have come to realize what American exceptionalism means. It means we take exception to following the laws that everyone else has to follow. We sign on to laws condemning torture, then we change the definition of torture. We blow up innocent people all over the world and then claim the drone strikes are precise. Due process is something that happens in some back room of the Justice Department. In my local newspaper, the raw racism comes boiling off the letters page every day. People need to understand that racism did not go away. It has just been repressed now. It's in full flower." Just the words used to describe those, to describe the racists' hate, the words have changed. Exactly. Unfortunately. And what did Chris Rock say? I've discovered a really cool new internet tool to find out who's a racist. It's called Facebook. Meanwhile, with regard to Dick Cheney before he dicks you his new heart, Jay Cruzen says, he bought it in China. Possibly. And that would be, that'd be a good capitalist heart now. Makes sense. Yeah. Hey, thank you. Thank you very kindly, Jenny, for jumping in on the fundraising this evening. That is much appreciated. Oh, and a little something developed over the weekend. It was being referred to as the Sydney Siege. I saw a tweet come through from our buddy Nancy, and went and watched for a little while. Somebody hung a black flag with Arabic writing on it in a window and took a bunch of people hostage. In the Sydney siege, two hostages were killed, and four are in extremely serious condition now. Robert writes, the spot was well chosen. It was directly opposite the morning show broadcast of one of the commercial networks. The creature responsible was well known to the police, and after reading about him, I simply cannot understand why he was even walking the streets. It appears to be the act of a lone religious extremist. I hope it remains so. I can only hope that both the people and government of Australia do not overreact. Yeah, but it is Tony Abbott, isn't it? Tony Abbott, who makes, who was the previous liberal PM during the reign of error of George Bush? Oh, what was his name? Don't look for a cool and calm response. Because in any event like this, when there's an opportunity to for those in power to grab more power, it's almost impossible to expect them to do anything other. So we got that. Lots of nominees this evening. I'm not kidding. And who knew? But this past week, there was a rally in front of the White House. Our White House, you know what I mean? Where that Kenyan Muslim usurper is usurping. So, these were... Yeah, John Howard, thank you. Thank you, Robert. I've tried desperately to forget John Howard, but somehow managed not to. Anyway, a video, somebody with a video cam went and interviewed the God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding, did I say God-fearing, Christian patriots, booger-eaten, birther, deather, tenther, libertarian John Birchers, who went to the White House to protest destroying America by that one. Might want to get the hockey puck for this. Pretty precious.
We have a traitor whose life is divided between Marxism and Islam. This is who our president is. This president aids our enemies with taxpayer dollars. He has funded the Muslim Brotherhood. He has funded Al-Qaeda, and he funded illegal sales of weapons to cross our borders from America into Mexico. It's called the Fast and Furious Scandal. We had a lawless president sitting in the White House, America.
Punishment for high treason is.
Yeah, I love how they quote the Virginia state motto, Sic Semper Tyrannis, so always for traitors. This, of course, is what John Wilkes Booth hollered when he leapt to the stage after murdering Abraham Lincoln. Coinky dinky? I don't think so. But of all of the remarks captured, and I realize our intrepid videographer here badly needed a windscreen for his or her microphone, my favorite was, plenty of trees in the front. Well, let's hang the Kenyan traitor. The guy's, of course, wearing a gold cross on a chain around his neck. He's got a neck beard down to his navel. White guy, yes, of course. Hang the traitor. Hang the Lion Kenyan traitor. We got rope. But my favorite, plenty of trees in the front yard. Wouldn't be the first one hung on one of them trees. Whatever happened to the good old days? You know, the good old days of lynching. Good old days. We've gotten to Jeremy again. OMFG, by their own dipshot logic, shouldn't they all be hung? Hanged. Need stronger duct tape and an official NHL hockey puck next time, Bob. Yeah, I'd say. In a big way. Wouldn't be the first one we hung from one of them trees. Hey, he's just biding his time till Satan takes him home to where he belongs. Hell no, I ain't a racist. No, I'm just an American patriot. I think we're all a bunch of fagoots. More and more and more. There's no let up. It's more and Monday. And if you, just in case you thought that Dick Cheney's weird little psycho masturbatory performance on, and I know you didn't think this, on Meet the Press was all the, no. We got all kinds of torture fans in Merca. Let's check in with that proud son of Stanford University, Brian Helmet Hair Fisher. Don't put away, it's more in Monday. Don't put away the hockey pucks, for God's sakes.
Do not forget that these jihadists have no constitutional rights because they're not American citizens, and they have no Geneva Convention rights because they didn't sign the Geneva Convention. That's for people who fight in uniform and actually are signers on the Geneva Convention. So they have absolutely no legal rights that they can claim anywhere. So whatever treatment we give them, if it's there's any mercy involved in it, they have no right to that. That's simply because we are a merciful people who are driven by Christian principles.
Yeah, driven by Christian principles to hang an innocent man until he dies. To torture the driven by those Christian principles that say that it's okay to torture 25 innocent people as long as what it's less than 26%, because as Chuck Todd Weekly noted, 25% of the people we tortured were absolutely innocent of any crime whatsoever. Yeah, but it sure was fun, wasn't it? And if you've looked at the torture issue at all and wondered why it is that we engaged in rectal feeding where we crammed humus up the fundament of an innocent person.
And let's not forget that there is a huge difference in the Bible between actions taken in a time of peace and actions taken in a time of war.
Right.
So
right.
The culpability
shut up, Brian.
Wait.
There are differences in the Bible between actions taken in the time of peace and the time of war. Because, you know what, a 2014 culture with a lot billion more people on the planet than were here in the Bronze Age, needs to take its cues on civilization from Bronze Age people who were baffled by wheelbarrows. So I'm sorry. Brian. Go right ahead.
War. So the culpability and the blame and the accountability for every last bit of the enhanced interrogation techniques rests on the Muslims who were responsible for 9/11. If you're looking for somebody to blame for waterboarding and sleep deprivation and rectal rehydration, look no further than the Muslims who were responsible for 9/11. They.
Yeah, okay. Don't you love that? This is the same mindset that says, you know, daddy drinks because you cry, or Cletus has to smack Marvelline around a little bit every now and then because she doesn't get his cuffs right when she's ironing his shirt. Honey, I wouldn't have to hit you if you'd just shut up. See?
They made those enhanced interrogation techniques necessary. So let's not forget, no 9/11, no waterboarding. No 9/11, no Gitmo. No 9/11, no rectal rehydration.
Even if the people who were being waterboarded, who have been sent to Gitmo, and who have been, let's stop with the pretense about the rectal feeding. You know, one of the things on Sunday that Richard B., big-time Dick Cheney before he dicks you, said, and that decent human being's heart in his chest, was that I presume that the rectal feeding was medically necessary. There's no medical, because I went and did some reading. The idea of rectal feeding went out with high button Greaves, okay? It was a medical theory with some following around 1905, maybe up to 1920. But shortly thereafter, and along about the time that medical science also figured out that, tuberculosis isn't caused by black bile or demons or ill humors, medical science also figured out that most of the digestive processes in the human gut take place between either the stomach or the small intestine, and that the large intestine is merely a waste consolidation and elimination chute. I assumed it was medically necessary, and by medically necessary, I mean it was medically necessary for me. Yeah. Me and the little woman used to get into a little water sports, but ever since she wrote that lesbian novel about late 1800s Wyoming, it just hasn't been the same. It was medically necessary for me. Yeah. Can you still hear the enema bags, Clarice? Right. But let's make something abundantly clear. Brian Fisher is not saying crazy stuff. Brian Fisher is saying stuff that is completely in line with the violent, vicious God that he worships. Because you can just do evil stuff to people. God, I mean, these are people who say, whose other adherents say, for instance, that Hurricane Katrina was God's wrath for all the Homer sectionals in New Orleans, even though the most egregious Homer sectionals and the drag queens were on the highest ground in New Orleans and really didn't get hurt. that it was just God punishing completely innocent people. God does that. Their God does that if he was real. Yeah. Robert in Australia. Rectal feeding? Bob, rectal feeding was an episode of South Park. It was pretty revolting. In one end, out the other. I thought that was the episode where they found out what happens when you agree to the terms and conditions of iTunes. Well, maybe not. Someday, huh? We could have saved some of this for Wednesday, but it might have been stale by then because he'll say more crazy shit before we ever get to Wednesday. It's not just the torture that Brian Fisher, that proud son of Stanford University, is on about. He's also concerned with how people in California edumacate their children. Bite down hard on the hockey puck and take the tape around a couple of times, okay?
Governor Jerry Brown in California just signed a law that requires the teaching of gay history in California's public schools. So every public school in the state of California has got to indoctrinate, brainwash students in homosexuality.
Oddly enough, we're not indoctrinating and brainwashing students when we teach them mathematics or biology. Of course, he doesn't want children learning biology, and he would prefer that children not be taught mathematics so that the priestly class can just tell them that 2 plus 2 is the earth is less than 6,000 years old. But every child in California is going to be indoctrinated in homosexuality.
And, you know, I actually said, Governor Brown, all right, I will give you that. I will allow you, I will permit you, I will, I don't have the power to forbid or permit.
It's terrible when you come to that realization, isn't it? Wait, I'm not all powerful. I'm just sitting here hallucinating at a microphone from the American Family Association Studios in Tupelo, Mississippi stand. I'm not even in California. Me. I don't know where he is. I just know that the American Family Association has begun in Tupelo, Mississippi State. Like a remote.
But I will support you teaching homosexuality in California's public schools on the condition that you start with Sodom and Gomorrah.
And you know what? I'll take cards in that game. And we will start with Sodom and Gomorrah. And we'll explain that there's nothing in the Sodom and Gomorrah story about homosexuality, but we will keep reading beyond Sodom and Gomorrah getting destroyed to where that, and we'll get to that part where the merciful God of the Bible murders a woman by turning her into a pillar of salt for merely looking over her shoulder. Who knows what she was looking at? Don't look back, God says. She looks back, pillar of salt. Lot's wife. Does she even get a name? And we'll keep going with it to my personal favorite Bible verse, or Bible story, the story of Lot's daughters getting old Lot all drunked up real good and, banging boots with him, or I don't know, slamming sandals in this case, probably. You know, traditional family values, heteronormative stuff. Like when your daughters say, well, we may as well get daddy all liquored up because now that the town's been roasted, we're never going to find a husband. Yeah.
If you want to teach gay history in your public schools, then you got to teach gay history. Gay history starts with Sodom and Gomorrah.
Only it doesn't, because that's a myth. Then again, try to explain that to Brian Fisher, proud son of Stanford. How do you get through Stanford University thinking that the Bible is literal fact? How do you do that? Jesus, it just makes me want to drink. And by drink, I don't mean like, you know, the good stuff. Straight for the, you know, straight for the rot gut. Lucky for us, though, on More In Monday, Brian Fisher is not the only one out there warning people about to gay. Been a while since we've heard from Gordon Chappie Klingenschmidt. You know, they've got creams that'll clear up your Klingenschmidt. Or, well, clean up your Klingen when you're Schmitty's, when it's all Schmitty. Yeah. This, of course, from the Pray in Jesus' Name program.
I particularly am against male-on-male sexual assault because that is the fruit of the repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. We ought to go back.
Huh? Man, the mushrooms just kick right in, don't they?
Back to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. We ought to put the people back in the closet, especially if they're so flagrant that they want to violate one another when they're openly serving. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 22. If you're out in the country and a man happens to meet a young woman who's pledged to be married and rapes her, only the man who has done this shall die. Do nothing to the woman. She has committed no sin deserving of death. This case is like someone who attacks and murders a neighbor. You know, there was a false accusation and a misquote of the Bible a few months back by Right Wing Watch, and they said, oh no, the Bible teaches that it's okay for men to, you know, rape women and then punish...
Except the fact that the Bible does that.
...punish the woman for doing that. No, you're clearly twisting the scriptures, because the scripture I just read says you don't do anything to the victim. You only punish the attacker.
Yeah, except for that part where... The guy has to, yeah. Because you'll notice that there's a caveat at the front end of that verse that he cited. If a man rapes a woman who is pledged to be married, right? Right. Now, if she's not pledged to be married, well, the rapist has to get married up with her. It's sort of the Bronze Age pottery barn rule, I guess. With where, you know, women have the approximate value of actual pottery. If a man happens to meet a virgin who is not pledged to be married and rapes her, and they are discovered, he shall pay her father 50 shekels of silver. He must marry the young woman, for he has violated her. He can never divorce her as long as he lives. But, at least, Chappie Klingenschmidt understands that we can solve the same-sex rape problem by making all the gay people get back in the closet. It just kind of goes on and on and on. We got lots of them. And you kind of saw this coming, didn't you? Or didn't we? They're rather predictable when you get right down to it. It's More In Monday, so by all means, let's check in with Elizabeth Hasselbeck over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Who knows exactly, and I do mean exactly, why what happened in Sydney happened. Yeah? I think we'll close more in Monday nominations with this one. I don't know. We've got so many. Yeah, we really can't, can we? No.
And there you can see one of the... Keep in mind, initially, they were not going to confirm the police were what the gunman was asking for, but apparently he did ask for some sort of an ISIS flag. He had another flag that was like the ISIS flag, but he asked for an official one. Also, he asked to talk to the prime minister. We know the premier has put out a statement. We know that the prime minister has gone on Twitter as well, but we don't know whether or not the prime minister has spoken to the hostage taker.
Right. Our own State Department spokesperson, Jen Psaki, has actually confirmed that the U.S. consulate in Sydney has been evacuated. The comparison with those flags, Steve, was interesting at first because the one against the glass was actually a black background, as you can see, with the Islamic Declaration of Faith on there, and now actually demands to get that actual ISIS flag and also have that phone call with the prime minister.
They say it's no coincidence that Channel 7 is right there. They want to get publicity. They also want a live chat with the prime minister on a live radio show.
You know something terrible's coming, right? This can't... There's got to be some stupid significantly on the way. It's almost impossible that it could be otherwise.
President Jen Psaki has actually confirmed that the U.S. consulate in Sydney has been evacuated. The comparison with those flags, Steve, was interesting at first because the one against the glass was actually a black background, as you can see, with the Islamic Declaration of Faith on there, and now actually demands to get that actual ISIS flag and also have that phone call with the prime minister.
They say it's no coincidence that Channel 7 is right there. They want to get publicity. They also want a live chat with the prime minister on a live radio show at the same time. On the printed creed on the flag evidently is there is no God but Allah and Muhammad.
Notice the use of the third person plural. They want, they want, they want. There was no they.
The messenger of God. So why they're waiting to say this is fueled by Islamic extremism is something that the government has to answer. It is kind of interesting. They do say one description of a man is he's heavy set and is known to police and to local officials. And keep in mind, too, there was a major arrest that morning, and this is the same place, Australia, that thwarted another terror plot, that their mission was to randomly go through the streets of Sydney and behead people.
This was in September.
Yeah.
So this is not something that, unfortunately, it's not something new that Australia has been dealing with.
But this is a series of events, and this is just seems to be the latest. And a lot of people say, okay, what does that mean for America? What does it mean for New York?
It means your Walmart's going to be reduced to a heap of smoking ISIS rubble. Be afraid, America. Be very afraid. ISIS swimmers have already set out through the shark-infested waters off of Australia, and they are madly paddling away on little inflatable rubber duck rafts, and they're coming to Merca to behead you right there in Action Alley in the Wally World. Oh, yes. Be afraid, America.
The number one spot for terrorists to hit.
Sure, and in fact, there is a Lindt chocolate shop about two blocks from where we're sitting right here. And there.
Really? That's what it's about? The chocolate shops? And there's a chocolate shop right there about two blocks from Fox? They're coming for our Elizabeth! They're going to headlop her! Of course, it won't mean much for Elizabeth. I mean, it's not like she's using it, but
You can see, we should point out that five people in all got out of that building. It is unclear, though, whether or not they were released. There is also a report that one of the people who did get out wound up going to the hospital, apparently for a pre-existing condition, not something that happened. So maybe the gunman said, you don't feel good? All right, get out.
Meanwhile, the actual individuals here at home who've been looking into and trying to stop attacks like this and perhaps future hostage situations, as we are still at war indeed with ISIS and terrorism, are the CIA, and they've been painted as the bad guys at home. You know, former Vice President Dick Cheney actually called out Chuck Todd over the weekend yesterday for taking cheap shots on the CIA enhanced interrogation report. Take a listen to this.
When you say waterboarding is not torture, then why did we prosecute Japanese soldiers?
For a lot of stuff, not for waterboarding. They did an awful lot of other stuff. To draw some kind of moral equivalent between waterboarding, judged by our Justice Department not to be torture, and what the Japanese did with the Bataan Death March, the slaughter of thousands of Americans.
See, you just lie. That's what you do if you're Richard B. Big Time Dick Cheney. You just lie. You know, we didn't execute anybody for waterboarding. I mean, they did a lot of other stuff, too. But actually, we did. We executed people for waterboarding. We did because it was determined to be torture. You realize we used some techniques in our torture program that even the Nazis said, you know, this is past us. I mean, some things we just will not do. No. We did them.
With the rape of Nanking and all of the other crimes they committed, that's an outrage. It's a really cheap shot, Chuck, to even try to draw a parallel between the Japanese who were prosecuted for war crimes after World War II and what we did with waterboarding three individuals, all of whom were guilty and participating in the 9/11 attack.
The American people have very little compassion for those people in Gitmo. I think these are Washington insiders are sitting there saying, you know, this shouldn't be done to even the worst of the worst. I think in the big picture, you look at the CIA. If they thought the methods were to be nice and to be friendly in order to get the maximum amount of information as quickly as possible, that what they wouldn't have done. I think people are acting as if we were out of our minds and the CIA was just sitting there trying to get an eye.
They were getting off on it. Because the fact of the matter is, and this is where I worry about, you know, Emery and Marveline sitting there in their Barca loungers watching this. Of course we had to torture Marveline. That's the only way them Muslims will ever talk. Except for the fact that there's documented evidence out there. The FBI was already interrogating people. They walked in and said, yeah, what do you think? You're going to talk? I'm going to talk. And they started talking, and they were giving credible information, and the CIA dude walks in and says, yeah, I want to stick something up his butt. Just talking, asking questions, and getting answers was yielding information. I mean, this isn't speculation. This is known. This is stuff that's been reported, written in a book, by one of the FBI interrogators. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if just talking to him would work, they'd just talk. Well, we did just talk to him, and then dude walked out, I want to stick something up his butt. I want to drown him for a little bit. Here's the funny thing. After you've ruined somebody's mind, you can't get very much out in the way of any kind of valuable information out of them. They got the one poor guy to the point where he responded like one of Pavlov's dogs. Nice. Isn't it? Note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, call me. Hey, Bob. I'll give him GPS coordinates to Elizabeth Hasselbeck's dressing room. Not Lisbeth. Not our Lisbeth. Marty getting a chuckle out of the notion that the fellow wanted an official ISIS flag. An official flag? Really? An official one? They're out there now? They're being made by slave labor somewhere in a flag factory in China? Yeah. Ron asking earlier regarding Chappie Klingenschmidt. Bob, does that mean that old Chappie enjoys the hot lesbian action? Well, of course. As long as they're doing it in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
For an eye. They were just trying to quickly get as much information as possible. And keep in mind, the worst could be yet to come. Later on this week, we're going to find out if the Obama administration will be successful or how hard they will fight to stop the releasing of hundreds of photos of the interrogations, various things that happened in Afghanistan that would not make us look like the benevolent people we want to portray ourselves are. Because we're doing
and can only portray ourselves as long as the photographs of us committing torture aren't released. In other words, we can only lie about ourselves.
This thing, we're at war.
Well, look, seriously, Warren, when you see what's happening in Australia today, right now, in a chocolate shop.
A chocolate shop! A chocolate shop! Ice cream, Mandrake. Fluoride in little children's ice cream.
And you understand the real war with ISIS that we're in.
It's a war we're fighting in a chocolate shop!
Sharp contrast with the accusations of the CIA really just trying to do their job and keep America safe for the past 13 years. Startles you any day.
Yeah, go away, Elizabeth. Change your armor. And yes, the Senate, as Sparky informs me, the Senate has narrowly confirmed. What? I hate it when that happens. Narrowly confirmed Vivek Murthy as Surgeon General of the United States, the first Indian American to be Surgeon General of these here new United States. And remember, the Republicans tried to block him, along with help from, say, a certain alleged Democratic senator from West Virginia whose name, who shall remain nameless except to note that his name is Joe Manchin, said, he thinks that guns are a public health problem. That's a public freedom! He's going to be Surgeon General now. And it will be nice to have a Surgeon General just in case Ebola comes back. Because remember, we didn't have one last time. Do come in handy. How did I get signed out of chat? Amen, Darcy. Amen. It's a chocolate shop. A chocolate shop with nuts. Via Carol. Shorter Darth Cheney. I did it. I enjoyed it. I'd do it again. Immunity rocks! Oh, Carol, the things you think about. Oh. Do you just bleach your whole brain at the end of the night and just start over the next day? Carol says, makes me wonder if Mrs. Dark Lord has to break out the jumper cables and hook him up to Dick's nips to get him to pop a boner. Not visualizing. Oh, I think I just visualized. Ouch. A little clarity coming from Robert in Australia. Yeah. He says, Bob, it was a cafe. Not a chocolate shop. The police knew all about the creature. It didn't stop them. It didn't stop him. And if he really wanted to talk to the Prime Minister, going to Canberra when Parliament was in session really would have been a better idea. Atne ute aitbre, if you one what I inne. See, that's the problem with a terrorist organization. It's hard to keep the idiots out. I mean, you can say, no, I'm sorry, you cannot join our terrorist organization, and send him on his way. But then he just goes freelance. And he's got a bad unofficial flag and stuff, and he's harming the brand. You know, capitalism. Ron and Raleigh, when the hell did that happen? When did we declare war on ISIS? Didn't we say no boots on the ground to fight ISIS? How do you declare war with no troops? Yeah, I know. This could go on for a very long time, and probably will, because we got lots and lots of morons. Drive slow on the driveway, morons. But we'll take a little break, and we will maybe line up a couple of phone calls. You know the number. Or 304, this is the Gizmo line, 304-663-4676. 304-663-4676. Either one is fine. Or you can Skype to Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn is the contact number. And, of course, email comes into bobkincaid@gmail.com. You can reach me, Bob Kincaid, on Facebook, at Bob Kincaid on Twitter. Just all kinds of different ways. You can stand outside and yell. No guarantees on that one, though. But any way you care to reach out is just fine. So, break time. Light them up. The lines, that is. Well, you can light up anything else you want, too. It's a regular joint. Thank you very kindly again to Betsy and to Janie, who essentially provided a have a show on me. And thank you, Jenny, for helping keep us out front a little bit as we run downhill toward the end of December and the end of 2014. This is the Horn.
Happy Christmas, Uncle.
Happy Christmas, Julie.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young.
A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And the poor ones, the world is
More than a little bit of wistfulness that attends that song every this time every year. Because war ain't over. Hey, look, let's run over to the Skype line. It's Barbie.
Hey.
Hey, Barbie.
How are you, buddy?
I'm fine. This is fun. This is exciting.
I am so excited. Miss Carol got me on.
She got you all hooked up and you sound great.
It's awesome.
Well, welcome by all means to the whole experience.
I am tickled.
If I may, there's a little bit of noise in your background there.
Oh, I must have the TV on. That would do it.
It would.
Okay.
Now I understand if there's a problem because, you know, in my world, if I mute my TV, I turn off my heat. That's the way my remote works.
Oh, no, I got a fireplace.
Nice.
Yeah. And I made sure I didn't have to do anything till you're done here. I even have my hubby out in the kitchen making me supper.
Oh, well trained.
Life doesn't get any better than that.
No, that's the good stuff. That's the good
stuff.
Yep. So up in Iowa, Stan, we were almost toasty today at 60 degrees. Are you freezing yet?
No, it's beautiful out here.
Just rain. Climate change? Butch?
Yeah, usually we're knee-deep to our butts in a snowstorm about this time. And we don't have a drop.
Oh, it might get interesting.
Yeah, but I've been looking at the map, and it looks like the crap that even Miss Carol's getting down there, it might miss us.
Wow.
Because I'm in south central, not south. I mean, it's towards the middle of the state, but to the east.
Please tell me Steve King is not your congressman.
Yes, that prick is.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Just sick about it. I wish people would wake up.
Reelected in a landslide, I'll bet.
Oh, God, yes.
And I'm sure you're just eagerly awaiting the swearing in of the new Congress so that you can hear the first pronouncements from your new hog castrating senator.
This just, oh my God, and I despise her even worse. You know, she is so out of tune. In fact, her and the governor are big buds, and they're trying to take away some of the free programs provided to our schools. And, I mean, it's just going to be a hellish next few years. And I can't wait to her to hear what great, profound wisdom she has, just like all the rest of them. So I have to enjoy the hell out of Obama for the next few years.
Well, and, you know, of course, and this, it's only fair to mention this because there's an assignment involved. Once the Republican clown car really, really starts doing donuts in the cornfields of Iowa, we will need frequent updates.
Oh, you'll get them. And I won't even be kind. I don't have to be.
Well, it's kind of a waste when we're talking about Rick Santorum now, isn't it?
Yeah. Bingo.
Or Ted Cruz or Rand Paul. I don't know if you saw it or not, but Smaug, the dragon from The Hobbit, made an appearance on Stephen Colbert's program and endorsed Rand Paul 2016, urging him to go back to the gold standard. I thought that was kind of cute.
Well, I tell you, they just keep getting worse and worse and worse. Everyone that comes to light, you know, and says, I want to run, it's like, oh, please, can we have some wisdom come back to Iowa?
I don't know if there's any left. I don't know if there's any left in the country. There's certainly none left on the right-wing side. But
you know, I'm going to tell you something. The big bill, you know, the budget bill that they are shoving down our throats, I guess. I don't think it's gone yet through the Senate. I don't think it's supposed to go. I haven't heard anything, let's put it that way, yet. But, you know, I hope Obama vetoes it. It would affect my family. It would affect us profoundly. But you know what? I would rather suffer and see changes made than continue in the vein that we're going. If it means, you know, we're living paycheck to paycheck, if it means even worse than that, I think I would try and tolerate that if we could see a change in the right direction. It makes me sick that I have voted ever since I could. And we're being taken back to a time where we're like starting over. History is repeating itself. You know, I grew up in the 60s, and I told Ms. Carroll, I said, when it first started, you know, before the midterm elections, I said, and then with all the violence and all the stripping of our rights, I mean, just everything, I said, we are really going way back in time.
Well, the thing is, though, I have a sneaking suspicion that this will be. I mean, if Barack Obama will sign this, he's not going to veto anything. I've got a story in front of me here in the Moran Monday stack, Barbie. Robert in Morgantown sent me. Your darling sister simply loves the Lindsey Graham stories. And honest to God, I'm not kidding. I hope this comes across. You remember a couple of weeks ago when Lindsey said that if he was president, all men's clubs would just have a wonderful time in his White House?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, apparently Lindsey's got a real problem with the women's.
Yeah.
And he is right upset now with Senator Professor Elizabeth Warren out of Massachusetts, up there, in liberals, right?
Good kisser.
Yeah. Let me see. Let's let the ad run through. Every clip has an ad now. But then we have to check in with Senator Lindsey. Because I think he come near to getting the vapors on the floor of the Senate.
Now, if you follow the lead of the senator from Massachusetts and bring this bill down and do a CR, which is the worst possible way to run the government, I tell you what comes your way. It's what came our way. People are not going to believe you're mature enough to run the place. 70% of the Democrats in the House voted against this bill, and 3 out of 4 Republicans voted to get it over here. A level of maturity and judgment I haven't seen in my party in quite a while. Speaker Boehner and your team, well done. To the 70% of the Democrats, I'm sure on MSNBC you're going to be well thought of, and on the liberal version of talk radio, you're a hero. And you'll have your moment with that crowd. I can promise you this. There are people on our side that are having their moment on other channels. But 1/3 of the almost Democratic Party resisted that temptation. And I know how they feel. Some will get a primary. I had 6 primary opponents.
6, Barbie. He had 6 primary opponents. I mean, they was about running through the smelling salts, and the fainting couch had to have the cushions replaced. He had so many primary opponents. It was just terrible. But that Elizabeth Warren, she's not mature. You got that?
Oh.
Yeah.
She's one of the more sane ones.
She's just not mature like Lindsay is.
Well, I'll take Elizabeth Warren's immaturity any day over the delusional Lindsey Graham.
Well, and let's understand what it is she's upset about. She's upset about the fact that this thing guts what was left of Dodd-Frank and makes it more likely than not that we're going to have, you know, another financial disaster, another financial collapse. And, you know, what you were saying, the reason I thought about this is because of what you were saying a few minutes ago about living paycheck to paycheck, and you would almost be willing to have it get worse if we thought we were going to make the country any better. But the problem, Barbie, is that we are going to make the country get worse, but it isn't going to get any better.
It isn't. But I would like the key people, I would like to see some leaders really in there before it gets worse, because then I will know that eventually it will get better. What scares the hell out of me is the fact that they are so selfish that they don't have the interest of the whole country at heart, or the people at heart, when they sit back and make their silly-ass decisions.
Well, amen to that. It's just...
Are we on commercial?
Pardon? No.
Are we on commercial?
No. No, you can say anything you want to.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Well,
I'll try and clean it up a little bit.
No. No, don't clean anything up. That's what I'm saying. The FCC has no jurisdiction over this. If you want to, if you really just get slain in the spirit and have to say some special words, they're all right there available to you, right here on the interweb tubes.
Oh, you would think I was a crazy woman if I did that, because it makes my head want to explode.
Well, I tell you, And apparently, with the way the Senate operates, you know, they've got the arcane rules and everything, Ted Cruz and Mike Lee actually did the Democrats a favor. That's how we wound up getting the Surgeon General confirmed, because in their right-wing hissy, yeah, they started the clock running on the voting on nominations process on Saturday instead of today. So, consequently, we get a Surgeon General. Because, you know, they're clueless.
Awesome. I'll go that direction. At least progress. That's the way I look at it. Progress. We don't have to, I don't know how long, I honestly don't, Bob, how long we went without a Surgeon General, in all honesty. But it's something we definitely need, and it just breaks my heart that they're always under a microscope. Most times they have and I don't know who's in there, who they selected even, and, you know, I'm sorry for that, but they never get the key people they need because it's politics. politics. Oh, we can't have him select that person for the because
right. And the well, the NRA had their hissy over Vivek Murthy because he has identified having a house full of guns as a potential public health problem, especially relative to children. You know, because we keep having these stories where where the 6-year-old gets hold of his Cricket 22 rifle and shoots his 2-year-old baby brother.
Because
we make
the people in the community to get blown away.
Right, because we make and sell, not kidding, we make and sell children's rifles in this country. Not toy rifles. Not the kind of pistol that Tamir Rice got gunned down by the police for holding, but actual rifles that shoot real bullets, you know, 22 caliber bullets, you know, that come out in excess of 1,000 feet per second muzzle velocity and, you know, kill baby brothers and baby sisters. And they come in, and Barbie, they come in pink.
Oh.
And blue for the boys.
And why wouldn't kids be interested in that?
Sure. I mean, it's like I don't know. Put a smiley face and a yummy, and a yummy thought balloon, on the Drano.
Yep. Every day my head swells at the news, and not in a good way.
Well, I thought you should know that your sister is in the chat room casting the to-be-filmed feature, The Fabulous Baker Girls.
Oh, I love it. Always the thoughtful one, the giver.
She is. She's a giver. She's decided that Roseanne Barr will play her.
Oh, couldn't be perfect. More perfect. Yep.
But Roseanne doesn't have the voice.
No. I can tolerate Sis a lot better than Roseanne, but we get the message.
Well, now I still have one. I have one ambition remaining. Now that we have connected you to the program, Barbie, all we have to do is get your sister on at the same time, and then I have to do a little audio magic, and we'll get the giggles going stereophonically, and then I'll pan them back and forth, and people will simply be rolling on the floor, ruined.
As we were setting this up yesterday, and she was so great. I mean, she's got so much patience and everything, and we started laughing. And I said, "Oh, this is going to be a hoot! I can tell right now. We'll be able to, you know." It'll be medicine for those people who just want to explode. Once you hear that,
well, we'll get it going real righteous like at some point in time, because there were stories over the weekend that just had giggle fest written all over them, like the two morons in Florida tried to carjack a guy out of his Toyota Corolla, his 2014 Toyota Corolla.
Mm-hmm.
One guy pecked on the driver's side glass and showed him the firearm, and then another guy pecked on the passenger side glass and showed him the gun, so the guy gets out of his car, realizes he's being carjacked, and just wants to not get dead, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's when the morons got in with their freedom protectors and everything, of course, and they were going to drive away in the carjacked car, and then they looked down on the floor and saw that it was a stick.
And guess what? The thieves didn't know how.
Yeah, exactly. The carjackers could not drive stick.
No.
No.
That's great.
Meanwhile, the victim had walked away from the automobile, flagged down a motorist, car pulled over, they called the police, and the police showed up. And the carjackers had to run away because they couldn't drive stick.
Oh.
And they even left the keys in the car.
sweet. So wheat.
You know, more ends.
Something did go right.
All right, first we got to have. First we got to get our guns. I'm going to get a 9mm. What are you going to get, Paulie? Oh, I think I'm going to get me a. I'm going to get me a 45. Cool. Okay. Let's see. We've got a plan. We're going to carjack a car. We've got the guns to carjack the car with. What's next? Oh, yeah. And they just don't car. You know, learn to drive stick. No, wasn't on there. Only carjack a car with an automatic transmission. Not on there. Sometimes it's just a beautiful world. Well, Barbie, you have yourself a wonderful evening. I'm so glad that we have gotten you over the hump. You found out, as many first-timers have, that people don't just faint dead away and collapse in conversation on the horn. So you're good to go.
I just had to check. All right. Thank you so much.
Well, you have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and enjoy that supper that the hubby's making for you. What's for supper, by the way, Barbie?
I have no idea, but it smells awful. I mean, awfully good.
Oh, dear.
Awfully good.
Okay, so we'll get a report later. That or Carol will tell us that, you know, you're having your stomach pumped or something. I don't know.
Well, if I'm here later in the week, you'll know all is well. He actually does take good care of me.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. Barbie, you have a wonderful evening.
Great talking to you.
Good talking to you, too. Bye now. And that is that was Barbie, the wonderful sister of the one and only News Ninja Carol Baker. Let's keep things rolling. We've got, I suspect, Bill on the Gizmo line. Is that you, Bill?
Yeah, that's me.
Hot diggity.
Can you hear me?
I got you good.
Oh, good. I had a couple questions. It was great to hear the other half of the duo there. The laughter is, you know, if they could can that, that's contagious. It's a good thing to hear in this world is a little laughter, you know. As cynical as that, I still love to hear the laughs. I used to get a lot of laughs when I was getting ready to make love to a woman, and I get the pants off and they'd laugh, you know. That was embarrassing as hell, but oh well. Life's like that. But I have a question.
All right.
This guy in Australia, what was he actually from Middle Eastern background, or was he just a kook?
I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. It's one of those little quirks of humanity that one can be a religious maniac from and be of virtually any ethnicity on the planet.
Yeah, every religion has their fanatics. I know there's a lot of RCs, which I had a lifetime being raised in that stuff. Well, I quit about the age of 16. As soon as I hit the neighborhood and was out of the good Catholic children's home that I spent 4 years being dominated by, I hope this doesn't sound sexist, but a lot of these ladies were middle-aged women, and they're going through the good old thing called menopause, which can be very, very upsetting to some people. And they were fun to deal with, but that's another story. So this guy actually had some Eastern in him, as far as some Islamic background of some type.
Yeah.
Because as you said, they come in all shapes and sizes of religious nuttery. Because I didn't know for sure.
Well, and I suspect, given your question, Bill, that we will get a little further detail probably coming in from Robert in Australia, or maybe our other new Australian friend John. So one never knows.
Yeah, there are fascinating people. There was during World War II, there was labor strikes. The guys, you know, were supposed to unload all this American military hardware, and they were damn confirmed labor rights, Rob. They wanted to be, you know, paid well enough to do it. It was hard work, you know, unloading shiploads of whatever, you know. It was That's like Art Donovan, the big big tackle who played for Baltimore. He has a book out called Fatso, which is a great look at the National Football League of the 1950s and what a difference it was in baseball.
Oh, and speaking of which, we can have our moment of shallow this evening, Bill, because I actually sat and watched. Usually when a game gets up around, when an NFL game gets up around 29 to nothing, I'll turn away. It's just boring by then. But I have not, and the Browns fans will hate me for this, but I have not enjoyed a 29 to nothing blowout in a very long time as much as I did watching the debut of Johnny Football.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have heard the sports talk in Cleveland today, which I catch early in the morning.
It had to be a Lulu. Were you tuned in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, by
the game yesterday, yeah.
Oh, then by all means, Bill, report.
Well, it's the sports talk shows are making all kind of excuses for the kid, but it was, well, the whole team fell apart. There's no doubt about that. The defense was terrible. I've been watching this, following this since I was 11 years old. I met Paul Brown and Arlo Graham and Dante Lavelli and Lou Groza in 54. And then again in 58, I went down to the Instant Train at a place called League Park, which is the old baseball park, which has been rebuilt and reopened. And it was that's a fascinating thing in the old, really old park that was active. It was active up until the 40s. Through the 40s, they were still playing. And one of the black major league teams played there. And that's another thing that people don't know about there's a really good book called Only the Ball Was White. And if you're a baseball fan, you read it. And the great players who never made the major leagues, you know?
Yeah.
Because of this.
Well, I watched some of the post-game press conference in which Johnny Football stepped up to the microphone, and I have a feeling we're in for some real fun with him based on at least one statement he made. And this is a quote. I actually let SportsCenter roll through again in order to make sure I had it right. I felt coming into today that I was completely prepared for today. That's what he said about yesterday. I felt coming into today that I was completely prepared for today. Kind of. The first thing I thought of was that old bit from, I think, is it A Night at the Opera, where Groucho's going to hire Chico's band to play at his party, and he goes through the price list, and he says that's if we rehearse. And Groucho says, "What do you get if you don't rehearse?" And Chico says, "Oh, you can't afford that."
So they were a tremendous act, the Marx Brothers. They were funny, no doubt about it. But yeah, he's I don't think he has it. I was so spoiled by Graham and Frank Ryan, who won the last title the Browns won in '64. His wife wrote a column for the Plain Dealer called Backseat Brown. She was a literate woman, and it was a different. I walked around downtown Cleveland the night before the '64 title game because they used to play it in all the cities of the two teams, you know, where they go back and forth on that. I actually forget what the team with the best record or the. If it was in the Eastern Conference one year, they played the title game in the home of the Western Conference team. That was before the American Football League and the merger and the multi-million-dollar business that it's become. I got a chance to talk to a guy named Maury Kono, who was a trainer for the Browns when Paul was running it. In fact, he developed the single bar guard face mask because somebody put an elbow in Arlo Graham's face through the 23 stitches. And George Halas put a price on the head of a guy, a quarterback from Detroit named Bobby Lane. You know, when Tina came out about New Orleans a couple of years ago,
yeah.
He actually was going to pay somebody to injure the guy. So, but yeah, Manziel is, I don't think he's got this running quarterback stuff. A buddy of mine played for Maryland.
I keep thinking about the way he came into the league. You know, and I think about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was touted as, you know, possible number one draft pick in you know, coming out of his junior year. And he said, no, I'm going to play all 4 years here at Tennessee. And I thought, you know, I kind of respect, I don't respect him as much anymore because he's out there hustling pizza with that asshat from Papa John's, who's a right wing maniac. I won't eat Domino's or Papa John's. It's disgusting. But anyway, Peyton, you know, Peyton recognized that he was never going to play in an atmosphere like Neyland Stadium there in Knoxville, you know, over 100,000 people. That doesn't happen in the NFL. I mean, you might play before 60, you might play before 80. You ain't playing before no 100,000 screaming fans all, you know, no. So he stayed all 4 years, and he's got a hell of a legacy. Johnny Manziel could not get out of Texas A&M fast enough. You know, he won the Heisman as a freshman, and then he blows out after his sophomore year, which was less than fabulous. I'll never forget him going over and screaming in the face of his head coach, screaming at him. And I'm thinking, you know, if I'm Kevin Sumlin, I'm sitting his ass down then. But he was about coming out in, you know, he's not Johnny Football to me. He's Johnny Privilege. Because, you know, he came from money and has the audacity to be making that money sign with his hands. And that was the most beautiful part of the game yesterday. He went to throw one of his terrible, god-awful passes, and Ray Malaluga from the Bengals jumped about 50, what looked like 15 feet in the air, and just batted it back like a volleyball player spiking the ball across the net, and then walked up and got right in his face and made that money sign at him. You want to talk about irony. I had no idea that Pac-Man Jones was still in the league. Adam Pac-Man Jones from West Virginia University.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
Well, and he's had a terrible reputation most everywhere he went. He was involved in all kinds of, you know, just nasty after-hours conduct, and he was, you know, he made it rain with money in a strip club and stuff like that.
Oh, geez.
And he was the guy, you know, Johnny, show me the money, threw an interception into the end zone to Pac-Man, make it rain at the strip joint Jones. I mean, you know that the goddess of irony is putting in triple time when she works one of those out.
Well, all the sports talk today was making excuses for the man. And Bob, my problem is I saw Norm Van Brocklin play and Lane and Graham and on and on. You know, Van Brocklin was couldn't run the same as a but he's a good punter as well as a quarterback. And I saw the Browns beat Los Angeles in 56-5 and the Lions 56-10 in 54. Graham was going to retire, but Brown was able to go offer him more money, and Otto came back. Otto failed as a coach, but he as in the National League, but he. I think he coached the Coast Guard Academy for the rest of his years. But it's just, the games are no longer a game. It's just, you know, it's just a money show. And Modell was big. Art Modell, who took the Browns out of Cleveland and people hated him, I didn't like him because he fired Paul Brown in a real cold January where we had a newspaper strike going on. And Paul retired and traveled the world with his first wife until she died, and then he came back and bought the team in Cincinnati. You'll notice the colors are very close, the two teams.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And Paul just knew his business real well. He was the Giants had Tom Landry and And the man who the trophy is named after, you know,
Lombardi, yeah.
Lombardi, they were shadowing that guy like crazy, trying to figure out what he'd do next. But and Paul had a good relationship with a lot of the black players, except when Jim Brown came along. Jim was a new generation, and Paul did have some difficulties with Jim, but Jim always speaks highly of him. And as I say, I got to meet a lot of those guys in 58 or so at the place where they worked out. I had a guy from the Catholic Big Brothers who took me down there, and it was great to shake hands with Jim Brown and still retain your right hand. You know, that man, what a great...
Two guys that came up
to West Virginia, Sam Huff.
Yep.
And Frank Epstein, who was center for the Browns for years, and he's in the Hall of Fame, and so is Huff. West Virginia produced some great players.
Yep. Well, it remains the winningest major college football program that has never won a national championship.
Alabama.
But we quietly went up about the business of not screwing up our season so badly as to not make a bowl game. So we're going bowling. We're off to Memphis. We're going to play Texas A&M in the Liberty Bowl. The Liberty Bowl is notorious for being freezing cold. But that'll be a fun game to watch. We'll get to play an SEC team, and you know, I mean, Texas A&M SEC doesn't make any sense, but whatever.
No.
But it, you know, here's hoping that they've got their act together and can go and win. But it will be interesting. But the Manziel fiasco, oh my! If that's what Cleveland has to look for, you know, he's no Bernie. Okay, I mean he's no. He was running for his life and chucked one pass. In fact, it was right after Ray Maaluga spiked the football back at him. The very next play, he threw the ball to Ray Maaluga, who intercepted it and ran it back for 20 or 30 yards. Unfortunately, the play was called back on an offsides call. But I saw him throw one desperate ball. He threw it sidearm like Tim Tebow.
Yeah. There's another guy I never had any use for. Was Tebow because of his religious pretensions. Because I don't care what religion it is. People with these kind of... There are Catholics who would like to go back to the old liturgy where everything was in Latin, you know?
Yeah.
Like you play dominoes and I play dominoes.
My daddy feels right, yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous. But anyway... Yeah, the talk was pretty. The other guy, the young guy from Cleveland, he didn't have much either. And of course, the guy that owns the franchise, you know, he was connected with the truck stops.
Oh yeah,
he had some problems. And his brother's what, the governor of Tennessee?
Yeah, Bill Haslam.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go, but I just by the way, what the hell is this money sign?
When the money sign is where you take your fingers and you sort of wave them at your own face and you with your thumbs and you kind of like a crab claw, and that's the sign that Johnny Manziel made when he signed his humongous contract with the Browns and just really really made a spectacle of himself. And he got all of that. He got all of that he could stand. And I figure as long as if they start him again next week, he'll get more.
They're going to start him because the other guy doesn't have. But see, Bob, I'm so spoiled by the guys that I saw, and you know the guys from the 50s. John Unitas was a free agent who wasn't even playing. And then a guy from Baltimore was an ex-Browns, worked for Paul Brown. And Baltimore, I think that franchise came out of Texas, where it was failing, which is why the Baltimore Colts were in the Western Division of the National Football League in the old days. I mean, that league is just outrageous. You know, the amount of money, and we got people who are fighting in this country over health insurance, and yet these people they don't pay much in taxes. I think that's something you could look into. I've heard things that.
The NFL is a nonprofit.
Yeah.
They don't pay any.
I thought so.
Yeah, they're a welfare organization. Oh, by the way, we did get an update, a little fact background on this person in Australia whom Robert simply refers to as the creature. He says I'm not going to mention the creature's name. He was a self-styled sheik who had been known to police for a long time. Born in Iran, 50 years old, came to Australia in 1996 as a refugee. Let's see. In 2009, he chained himself to the steps of a Sydney courthouse in a bid to convey a message of peace. At the time, he was accused of 7 counts of using postal or similar service to menace, harass, or cause offense after sending letters to families of fallen soldiers from Afghanistan. Took advantage of several grieving families and wrote letters that purported to be sympathetic but were vile and grossly insulting. The Crown prosecutor told the district court at the time, the letters, dubbed by one high court judge as sadistic, wantonly cruel, and deeply wounding, were sent to the families of 7 soldiers killed in Afghanistan and a trade official killed in a bombing in Indonesia between 2007 and 2009. 2013, he was accused of assisting in the brutal killing of his ex-wife, mother of 2. In 2014, he was charged with sexual intercourse without consent and 2 counts of indecent assault. He was on bail to appear in court again in February 2015. So, no, this is
a whack job.
Yeah, this is not some ISIS mole. But in the meantime, of course, the typical anti-Muslim backlash arises. But there's a trending hashtag in Australia called I'll ride with you, and it all stems apparently from some tweeting from a young woman from Brisbane who saw a Muslim woman on her bus taking off her hijab, you know, her head covering, and she wrote, I ran after her at the train station, I said, put it back on, I'll walk with you, and she started to cry and hug me for about a minute, the woman reports, and then walked off alone. And so, lo and behold, via social media, I'll ride with you, the I'll ride with you hashtag has begun going viral. The people refusing to be scared into submission.
Oh, boy. Did they finally break the guy loose from his hostages?
As Robert noted, 2 dead, at least 2, maybe 4 critically injured.
Boy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what the reason is. That kind of behavior is insane, and regardless of how you try to paint it, you try to paint a picture to the world that, well, I'm not really nuts. Well, I wipe out 6 or 8 people, you know, I'm fine. We had a situation in Cleveland with a Mormon out on the Far East Side who wiped out a family, and I think he finally ended up getting executed because the prosecutor, well, the Lake County prosecutor was also the House of Representatives from Lake County who quit from that area. He quit a couple of years ago or a year ago. Because he had to prosecute that guy, and they wiped out the Mormon family, and that's a tough prosecution because you're going up against religion. And I don't care what the religion is, it's still a tough prosecution. Do you want to come out and say the guy is nuts? Because I don't know how you dare call a religious person a nutcase, you know? Well, anyway, speaking of nutcases, let me get out of here and open the phone for somebody else.
All right, Bill, you have yourself a good evening. Good talking to you, man.
Take care.
All right, bye now. Our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress, calling from Cleveland. That means the Gizmo line is open, 304-663-4676. That's 304-663-HORN, H-O-R-N. And we will go to the other line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
What's happening, Kevin?
Not much. I was supposed to be in Florida tonight.
Well, I was a little surprised.
Yeah. I got no-showed, being disabled and having to take the disabled transportation known as Metro Mobility. I called them last night, called them when I got up this morning, asking them what time my ride would be here, was ready for them, suitcase by the door, backpack by the door, and the guy knocks on my door. I get a call saying, your bus is here, and then about two, 3 minutes later, another call saying, the guy is going to come up to your door. He knocks on the door. I'm there in the living room by the door when I answered the phone, and by the time I got outside, he had left the door. I'm struggling with the suitcase to get it out the door, being blind and in a suitcase. It's kind of hard to do that. I get about halfway down the walkway, and the woman in the apartment next to me says, are you waiting for Metro Mobility? And I said, yeah. And she said, they just left. And, of course, if they have to leave you, you don't get to make a
they don't come back.
Second ride. They don't come back. Cab fare is about, oh, 40-some-odd dollars, and I was going to do that, but when I called the cab, I had to wait 20 minutes on them to get here, walking out to the cab, and I'm assuming the cab driver watched me do this. I'm not sure, but I walked straight into a U-Haul, cutting my head.
Oh, damn, Kevin.
Yeah, so, you know, it's getting to be about 10 o'clock, and you, of course, you got to go through security and everything. And the cut wasn't bad. I bleed now because of all the anti-inflammatories I take. If you touch me, I bleed kind of thing. But I've got this blood all over my face. The guy says, do you have a tissue to wipe the blood off? And I'm like, no, I was going to the airport. Didn't think I need a tissue to remove blood from me. And the more I thought about it, I thought, this isn't going to work out real well. I get there to the airport, I got blood on my face, and then to top it off, I still was considering trying it until I went to the local Rippy Mart. I was going to take out cash, because at this point, I need cash, because I'm not sure how I'm going to pay for that baggage fare. I was going to pay for it with my card, but the card didn't work at the gas station. It's got a nick in the strip. It's still good.
Oh,
cash. And at that point, I said, you know, I'm going home. I spent $12 for that cab ride, another cab ride, because no one but me can take the money out. And this is where I get upset, because I'm blind. It cost me $20 ride to go to my bank to get the money out. I can't have my helper do it, even though I called the bank in advance. They know her. She's gone to the bank before with me many times. They will not let her take the money out for me. But she can't drive me to the bank because her company won't let her take people in her personal vehicle. So I had to spend $27 $27 to go all the way down to the bank, come back home. Now I've got plenty of cash, but I got to wait till Thursday for a flight. And, you know, of course, I was wrong today, too. My caller ID said they called me at 8:30. They say they called at 8:23 and waited for me for 11 minutes. And, of course, you know, I'm the wrong one. And it's just another day in the life, and I guess I've been thinking all day, I'm white, my minority status happens to be disabled. But I keep thinking, if my minority status is disabled and I'm white, this is just a small, teeny, yinsy, bitsy bit of discrimination that goes on with me, that's been going on for African Americans and other people of minority status for years now. And so, you know, when you all put it into perspective, it doesn't bother me so much, but it does, I guess it opened your eyes to what, you know, like that story you had at the start of the program about the, I don't know what the best was, man, I'm assuming just Hispanic, not black.
No, just a
76 years old.
Just a 76-year-old Texan.
Yeah, but he had that funny last name.
But down there, that it's, and I'm not trying to stereotype, that's not a funny last name. There's tons of people in Texas who have been there since, you know, the early 1800s.
But to that patriotic Texas cop,
yeah,
he probably was an illegal. You know what? You know why? What would motivate a 23-year-old? When I was 23, Bob.
Well, no, the place where you have to go with this, Kevin, is to realize that that 23-year-old Nathaniel Robinson never should have been given a badge, a gun, or a car. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. He pulled over a car with dealer plates on it on an inspection sticker charge.
Exactly. But what type of person does it take to taser a 76-year-old man over even if the man had illegal tags? You're tasering him? You're throwing a 76-year-old man to the ground? And this, unfortunately, happens. I bet if the truth were known, it happens at least once a day somewhere, not just in America, but in my state. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that's what our, not all policemen, and this is what, you know, I think it was San Diego PD got all upset about some of the players wearing, I forget what it was, wearing a hands-up shirt or something like that. And they're wanting an apology. And what? You know, freedom of speech suddenly has died? You know, when I was young, I assumed policemen were there to protect my freedom of speech and to make sure I didn't get the hell beaten out of me by someone just because that other someone didn't like what I was saying, as long as it was in, you know, not yelling fire in a theater or something like that. And now we get police like that, and it gives the good cops, because you had a story about good cops, the story about the two morons that tried to hijack the car with a stick shift.
Yeah.
You know, policemen are needed. I've met lots.
Right. There are plenty of really crappy members of the human race.
And that really crappy segment of the human race, unfortunately, also exists in our police, our fire departments, and everywhere else. But you hope that the standards for hiring such people weed these people out before they get on the streets to do what this one cop did, because it gives all cops a bad name. And yet, when a cop like Darren Wilson does what he did, a police union is supporting it. And, you know, I mean, we've not only jumped off the rails, we're going feet first over the rails with the stupidity. I mean, the story about Australia, I was thinking when you were talking about that and about the possibility of them overreacting to what happened. We're not a totally fascist country yet, but I think you have to assign degrees of fascism and where we are in relation to that. And we're getting to be pretty high up on the scale when you hear stories like what we've been hearing. And I'm like Barbie, it scares the hell out of me. I just... You know, I'm kind of glad I'm 55. And I'm kind of scared for that generation, for your kids' generation and their kids' generation, what they're going to have to endure because of the legacy. We're not leaving them, but people like Bush and Cheney are leaving us. And you talked about, Bill was talking about football and how it's not the same. It's the same game. But I think what you got to remember is that whereas a football club like Green Bay was owned by the city, now, except for Green Bay, you've got football clubs that are owned by owners.
Well, and no, that was largely always the way. I mean, the Bears started out as the Decatur Staleys.
Yeah.
There's always been that ownership interest. The game is not necessarily the same game as it was. It was once much more violent, and players were treated considerably worse than most of us would like to admit. And to this day, the NFL is still running away from dealing with the horrifying injuries that the sport. And it's long-term stuff that often doesn't show up until well after a playing career is over. The NFL has terrible problems that, and then you factor in people like Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson and player murder suicides and yeah.
And then. But that's kind of my point, is because these owners today, we forget what class they are. They're of the 1% class.
Oh, of course.
Very few of these owners even take a minute to realize where some of their players came from. A good deal of these NFL players came from poverty backgrounds. I have so much respect for those 5 St. Louis players that wore those shirts, because out of those 5, a good 4 of them are looking at not being in the league next year because they're just not famous enough or good enough to be tolerated because of what they did. They're good enough to be in an NFL roster as long as they scarecrow stay in line. But when they start doing something like wearing these shirts to show support for their community, well, we can always get another defensive back, and we can make damn well sure they're not signed by another team. And you watch, next year, some of these guys are going to be looking for a job. And they had to know that going in there, and that's why I've got so much respect for them, because they're not superstars. They were just, you know, except for one of them, they were just your rank-and-file NFL player. You know, the 50th man on the roster kind of thing. And so I hope they find their way onto an NFL roster, but it concerns me that they will because of what they did.
Well, I hope it's not held against him. You're getting a little pushback from Steve in New York. He says, I completely disagree that there are more good than bad cops. However, even assuming that that's true, here's the deal. The cost of a bad cop, unlike the cost of a bad plumber, for instance, is the difference between a bad plumbing job and a dead kid or a tased 76-year-old.
Exactly. I agree with that. But I still believe there are more good than bad. You always tend to hear about the bad more, and the cost is not only in life. What goes on a lot?
If I may, Kevin, I think maybe the better way to approach it is that while there are good acts and bad acts, the potential exists in practically every law enforcement officer to do the wrong thing, to do something horrible, simply by virtue of the incredible amount of power with which we invest them socially and legally.
I would agree. And what goes on a lot of the times is that these departments are sued and a settlement is reached where the department admits no wrongdoing.
That's and gets to investigate itself. Yeah, that's
exactly.
I think that's one. If we're going to have any kind of reform, that's one of the reforms that has to come through. Kevin, I am sorry you had such a miserable day. That just made my stomach hurt hearing about it. And yeah. I'm not. That's not a criticism. That's just, you know, my heart hurts for you. And I hope you're able to. I hope you're able to get home. And I hope the next attempt will not be quite so fraught with. Will not be fraught at all with disaster.
Oh, well, it kind of worked out, Bob. I get to listen to you for 3 days this week, and I actually made it, the return to the reservation. I come back on January 1st, so unless you're planning on having a show New Year's Day, that's one less show I'll miss. So, you know,
I honestly don't have any idea what I'll be doing New Year's Day. So, maybe we'll hear from you again before you head out. And until then, you know, take care of your noggin.
Yep, and enjoy watching Johnny Manziel. I will point out to you one thing, Bob.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was awful his first year. So maybe Johnny has some hope, but he needs to model himself a little bit more.
No, I just think Peyton had a bigger toolbox to work with.
Exactly, yep. So, anyway, I'll let you go.
All right, you take care, Kevin. Bye now.
All right, bye-bye.
Our buddy Kevin calling from Colorado. And let's check in with Jim. Hey, Jim.
What's up?
What do you know?
Oh, just had a nice foot long oyster po' boy a little while ago.
Oh, you know how to hurt a guy.
Start off with a little food porn.
Oh.
From Mandamus. Pretty good. Excellent. Man. But, it just doesn't stop. It's just one day after another, and then just like with with these people who have voted in the Republicans, I've said most of my family did vote that way. Mary Landry, of course, thought she was a dino. But did you see any hope for the electoral process getting any better?
I saw a Nantucket gathering, whatever they call that, presentation by Lawrence Lessig from Harvard, and it pretty much laid out the only hope we have of fixing what is what may seem hopelessly broken in this country, and that is campaign finance reform of a real and abiding nature.
Oh, definitely, but I don't see how that can happen. I would love for that to happen, but get money out of politics. I mean, that would be un-American, and then they'd say, "Well, you're censoring my speech." Since didn't the Supreme Court just rule, basically, in so many words, money is speech?
Sure, and we got a brand new Supreme Court ruling today, and it's a real Lulu. And you remember you may have been listening when we were talking about how the sweet Granny McCullen decision that says that a woman seeking health care, her First Amendment rights are not equal to sweet Granny McCullen who wants to be able to wave pictures of fetuses in her face. That was a 9-0 ruling, okay?
Yeah.
Well, we got a ruling today that says a police officer can stop a person for the wrong reason just as long as they and once again, the Supreme Court hauls out that tired old reasonableness standard. If they have a reasonable understanding of the law they're enforcing, they can stop you for the wrong reason. All these cases arise out of bad situations, but it's interesting that this case dropped today in light of the fact that just a couple of days ago, you've got 23-year-old police officer Nathaniel Robinson pulling over a 76-year-old man in a car from a car lot with dealer tags on it, and he pulls him over for not having an inspection sticker and proceeds to abuse him, slam him into the hood of the car, throw him to the ground, tasers him twice, okay? Well, under this decision, it sounds like that's okay because he had a reasonable understanding of the law he was trying to enforce, that everybody has to have a sticker, but he just didn't have a he just didn't happen to understand the whole dealer tag thing. So the reason I mention all this, Jim, is because that was an 8-1 decision. The majority opinion was written by the Chief Justice, you know, the John Roberts of the Rats. And 8 out of 9 justices agreed that a cop is absolutely okay under the Fourth Amendment pulling you over for the wrong reason, as long as, you know, his wrongness is reasonable.
And well, see, the whole thing about that is, when you get pulled over, because I've been stopped by police twice, three or four times, but basically, when it's just you and the cop, it's just your word against his. And usually they're going to, you know, it doesn't matter how much truth you have on your side unless you happen to have a video camera or something. That's the way I look at it. You know, I mean, you know, unless you're committing some sort of huge felony or something like that, I mean, then I might, you know, be one kind of go with the law enforcement. But sometimes, you know, they'll just stop, you know.
Well, in this case, and like I said, one of the first tired old slogans you hear when you enter law school is that hard cases make bad law. Well, this is one of those hard cases. The case comes out of 2009, Jim. It is the story of Nicholas Heyen, H-E-I-E-N. It takes place near Dobson, North Carolina. Nicholas Heyen was toddling along down the road when a cop pulled him over for having a brake light out. And in the course of the arrest, I still don't understand why you have. So he searches the car, and I don't understand why you have to search a car for a charge of having a brake light out. Okay, I mean I'm not there yet. But so he searches the car and finds a bag of cocaine, and so he charges him with attempted drug trafficking. However, it turns out that when he pulled him over for the one brake light out, well, North Carolina law says you only have to have one working brake light. So he wasn't in violation of the law at all. So the cop had no reason to pull him over, and therefore no reason to search the car. Under older legal doctrines, this was known as the fruit of the poisonous tree. In other words, if an illegal act starts the ball rolling, everything that flows from it is illegal too. And so the cocaine discovery should have been suppressed at trial, which would have meant no case. But 8 out of 9 justices said, nope, the Fourth Amendment doesn't require perfection. It requires reasonableness. And as long as he reasonably thought that you had to have both brake lights working, it was okay to pull the dude over. And so the search is okay, and discovering the cocaine is okay, and Mr. Heyen goes to prison. Okay? Okay.
See, what's crazy about that to me is that reasonableness, well, if you could argue then, and I'm reaching, I'm stretching to make a point, but then you could imply that police brutality could be reasonable.
Absolutely, and that's already been, that's not implied, that's expressed. But get this, I mean, so it was an 8-1, there was one dissent. Ordinarily you'd say, oh, that must be that liberal Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The only person dissenting in this case was Sonia Sotomayor. She wrote, "One wonders how a citizen seeking to be law-abiding and to structure his or her behavior to avoid these invasive, frightening, and humiliating encounters could do so. In addition to these human consequences, including those for communities and for their relationships with the police, permitting mistakes of law to justify seizures has the perverse effect of preventing or delaying the clarification of the law. So a lot of times with the Supreme Court, you get ends justify the means kind of decision making. Yeah, I think Piedra just put it perfectly. She says, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Except for the police. So, yeah, that's so true. Because that's one of the oldest maxims out there. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, I didn't know it was wrong to go toddling up the road with one brake light out and a bag of coke. But you see, they wanted, it's the fact that there was cocaine involved, and so consequently, none of these justices wanted to be seen to be turning loose a potential coke dealer back into society in North Carolina. So instead, they say, the cop reasonably believed you have to have both brake lights working. Okay.
Yeah, but if he'd been a CIA agent smuggling in the cocaine for the funding of the Contras, that would have been all right then, right? Back in Reagan, when they smuggled in all that coke, or they allegedly did that.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, but again. Right. But again, let's understand, when it comes right down to it, there's no such thing as a liberal Supreme Court justice.
You don't get to that position. You don't. It's just like it was you or somebody else who said, you'll never see another JFK. You'll never see another FDR. They've already built into the system checks and balances to make sure that kind of individual does not rise to that position in power. As far as politics, then you just don't go from dog catcher to vice president or president. So I the way I look at it is just they've already built that in, within both parties. And even if they, somehow the Green Party started to come to a rise, and within a relatively short time, that party would be infiltrated, because the Republicans were a brand new party in 1861. And it didn't take long for the graft and corruption to, but 1870s, 1880s, it was running rampant, right?
Yeah. And that's one of the things pointed out in that Lawrence Lessig video that I watched. He referred to Boss Tweed, who says, I don't care who votes as long as I control who gets nominated. And he describes it as a filter in the first step to make sure that only the right people are running for office. And he's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, once again, thanks for another uplifting and ever-enlightening and hopeful, hopefully.
I'm just a little ray of sunshine.
That's right.
I'd be a happier little ray of sunshine if I was sitting around munching on a fried oyster po' boy, but, you can't have everything.
Well, I had a couple of
beers
to wash it down, so.
Rub it in. Now you're just being mean.
Yeah. I think I'm going to join the Republican Party, infiltrated.
All right, Jim, I'll talk to you soon. I'm going to try to hop off here and catch this next line ringing in. All right, later. Oh, and just missed it. The Gizmo line is now open, as is the other line, 304-574-8178, or the Gizmo line, 304-663-4676. Either one is just fine. By the way, we got about 30 minutes to go in the program, and Steve wants us to get out front and stay out front. Here in the remainder of the program, he's offering a $75 challenge for anyone who would like to match the same. In other words, Steve says if y'all come up with $75, he'll double it in any combination. So it's out there, and it would be wonderful to, yeah, get a little further out front and keep paying bills, because there's bills yet to be paid. Back to the Gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Bob, it's Todd. How you doing?
Hey, Todd, what's happening, man?
Nothing. It's good to hear your voice. I haven't talked to you since you went to the doctor, and I just want to wish you and your family well, and I'm glad that you got some more information about your neck, and I think that's great that at least you know where you're going with this now.
Yeah, I'm going to the store and buying a lot more ibuprofen.
Well, that's a...
Which I think is a win in as compared with having my neck slashed open and, you know, bones messed with.
That's never a good thing.
Right. So we'll try to keep that at bay for as long as possible.
And I know it's probably other people that want to call, but I just I hadn't talked to you in a minute. But you know, I'm a little kind of relieved in a way. I had stopped. I might have been like you. I missed the first 20 minutes of the show, but I stopped watching the Sunday. I used to love to eat brunch on the Sunday news shows because it was, you know, back when what's his face? I don't know. You know, years ago in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah. Back when there was actual journalism being done on the Sunday shows, you mean?
Yes, when they would ask real questions, exactly. You know, instead of just nonsense. But Chuck Todd, he must have gotten a memo somewhere. He wasn't great, but it was better than it's been. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
David Gregory.
Well, David Gregory was just plain awful. Still, Chuck wasn't exactly, he didn't get the thumb screws out for Dick Cheney or anything. I'm sure it's being, in some quarters, it's being described as some sort of fearless reporting, but it wasn't.
No, it was improvement, but of course it wasn't good enough, but I mean, that's all I guess that we can expect. Seeing that murderous, psychopathic, disgusting piece of crap. I mean, he, what? All right, I'm going to slow down here. You remember how people started throwing around the F word, feckless, about the president
months
ago? Now, he is what I call feckless. He is just unbelievable. Dick Cheney, the gall. Why didn't he sit his ass down and go somewhere? He needs to just go and disappear. I mean, I don't understand. How does he?
Well,
feel like
and you know what gives me the horrors is the idea that he's got some 20-year-old heart in his chest and he's going to live to be 150.
He doesn't deserve to live. I mean, it's bad to maybe say that, but that's the truth.
No, in a sort of metaphysical sense, in a universe that is full of justice and has a moral arc that bends toward justice and all of that stuff. No, he'd walk outside one day and the lightning bolt would just go, and there'd be a greasy spot where Dick Cheney was. But you know that's not going to happen because it's not a moral universe and there is no arc. Hate to say it, but it appears to be true.
Well, something's up. I'm an Episcopalian, but I mean, you know, something's up. This is a little crazy because I don't even see how he can walk around free. Well, he's not really that free. He can't go anywhere, and even George Bush, he had to stay in the country. But
yeah, because they would. There is the risk that they would be arrested and subjected to justice.
But you know, it's curious because it seems to me his behavior is highly similar to some of these police officers we're seeing in the light of day now, and the way they operate.
And by the way, even as you were saying that, I was getting a message from Carol. She says, I noticed that neither Darth nor Little Shrub can leave the country without fear of arrest. So, yes, I think feckless is a good term, Todd. It's amazing the way that happened. You were thinking it, and she was writing it at the exact same moment.
I'm telling you, I've never met the woman, obviously. But, Carol, every time I talk with you guys, you know, the family, it brought me to tears. You know, she brings me to tears sometimes. She's just that. Maybe we're connected. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Everybody's connected. We're all connected. We're all just electrons floating around. So that's what I'm saying. You know, disgusting at a point. And you try to explain to these folks, and they might have an eighth grade education, they might not. But see, they're never wrong. And that's like Dick Cheney. Everybody in the world knows we were wrong. Never should have been in Iraq in the first place. I was again. I'm still waiting for my apology. Because I was like, no, that's not a good idea. They didn't have anything to do with it. Let's not do this. This is a bad idea. Bad, bad, bad. You know. But did you get an apology?
No, the dog ate it.
Yeah, the dog. So that's where we are with this law enforcement thing. And it's funny because, you know, I like to listen to Washington Journal in the morning sometimes on C-SPAN. And you get a lot of middle America folks, you know, a lot of people sound like they're of a certain ethnicity or whatever, but and they don't get harassed. They don't get pulled over and have illegal searches, you know, not subjected to illegal searches. So they think when they see a cop, it's like, oh, thank God it's a policeman, I feel safe. You know, black people don't feel like that. That, you know, it just doesn't work like that. There's no good that can come. And I think I mentioned this one time before, but maybe I wasn't as clear. I didn't have the clarity maybe. But the thing is, you ask these really unexceptional people, you ask very unexceptional people to do a very exceptional job. And what I mean by that is that it takes an exceptional person not to bring your biases to work.
Sure.
And, you know, and I'm the type of person, when I go to bed at night, I kind of replay my day, like, what could I have done better? How can I be a better human being? And apparently everybody doesn't do that. Dick Cheney does not practice that, period. You can see that. But what I mean by that is that now it's come out because, thank God, Anonymous, they outed a number of Klansmen on the Ferguson police force. You know, so, you know, don't make it look like people are crazy when they're getting harassed. You know, you have biases. Don't bring your biases to work. You can be in the Klan all you want, but when you're on the job.
No. See, I'm harder than that, Todd. No, you cannot be in the police and in the Klan. You can be in the Klan, but not the police. You can be in the police, but not the Klan. But you can't be in both. I'm sorry. I think that should just be a rule.
Well, that would, in a perfect world, but how are we going to stop that?
Look, contracts between parties can have all kinds of stipulations. One of those stipulations might be, you know, hi, you want to belong to the Donut Center, it's a whole police department, you can't be in the Klan. Are you in the Klan? Really? Okay, so you can't. So you can't be. No, you can put anything in a contract you want to. As long as it's not illegal. Now, some might say that was a violation of cop-to-be's First Amendment freedom of association rights. You know what? We give up all kinds of rights all the time in exchange for money.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
Yeah.
We do. And this is off on a tangent, but you know what I've been thinking lately is maybe not so much of a tangent. We all know that everything, you know, the NSA is everywhere. So why are we paying, like my cell bill is $110 a month. You know, I'm grandfathered in unlimited data. But, so I don't want to give it up. But I'm like, you know, why am I paying to be surveilled? They should be paying me.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Not in this world, it's not. No.
You know.
No, I mean, is it crazy? Look, I mean, I presume you were listening to the conversation with Jim. Is it crazy that the cops can be dead wrong about why they pull you over, but you still get to go to prison even though they were dead wrong about why they pulled you over? They were dead wrong about why they...
Oh, I heard that on NPR. Yeah, that was highly... I was like, you know what? That's why maybe this is not a tangent. The way I approach this particular part of the conversation is because that is insane. Now, you're telling me you got some dumbass jackass cop that doesn't even know the law. But he could pull you over and make up some shit, which, you know, it's happened to a lot of people. Excuse me on that. You know, that can happen to a lot of people. That's ridiculous. But we're supposed to be upheld to a higher level.
Right, and that's the thing, and I think that's what Justice Sotomayor was getting at. The people are now held to a higher standard than are the police.
Exactly.
I mean, if you take that reasonableness standard and apply it to Darren Wilson, well, there you go. And, God, I got a Benedict on my Facebook page shared a story about the so-called Witness 40. It's the Witness 40 problems are mounting and mounting and mounting, and yet still no special prosecutor. Witness 40 is who they hung their hat on. It's who, well, I'm not going to go into it. Maybe tomorrow for Titanic Tuesday. But on and on and on. And it's okay because, you know, it's just a reasonableness standard. Was it reasonable to pump 12 rounds into Michael Brown? Apparently, this Supreme Court, by an 8-1 vote, if the case should ever arise and get to them, would say yes. 8-1, Todd. 8-1.
Well, see, this is troubling, and this is the tangent I was going toward. We are never going to get anyone credible in any good office anymore because there's always, you don't hear, people don't talk about it because it's so frightening and disgusting. See, now blackmail is going to be commonplace. See, blackmail is going to be commonplace. Unless you're exactly what they want, you are not going to make it to that office that you want to get to.
I mean, a 76-year-old man gets rousted, thrown around, slammed into the hood of a car, knocked onto the ground, and tasered twice because the 23-year-old cop doesn't know the law about dealer tags and inspection stickers. I cannot reiterate anymore. Mr. Vasquez did nothing wrong. You can watch the video online. He did nothing wrong.
At what point did his mind stop working? I mean, you can't. That makes no daggone sense. Period.
You got to figure. You're 23 years old. You joined the police because you wanted the gun, the car, the power, the excitement. Who knows? Maybe you're some kid back from Iraq or Afghanistan, who knows what issues attend these things. Maybe you couldn't go to Iraq and Afghanistan, but you could get into the police. Who knows? But, you cruise around in your roller all day long, and there's no excitement, and it's pretty damn boring, and, you pull over a speeder here, blah, yada, yada, and so, bang, you see the car doesn't have an inspection sticker, or the inspection sticker's out of date. And, you one Adam 12, pulling over a desperate inspection sticker crime. One Adam 12, I'm on the scene. And, you're just trying to suck a little bit of the boring out of your day. And if that means you get to tase a 76-year-old man who's never done any damn thing wrong, you'll get paid administrative leave. Maybe you can, maybe you can go fishing for a little bit. Carol says, Bob, I pick up cars from the auction all the time. I don't have the damn thing inspected before leaving the auction lot. I slap a dealer tag on and drive it to our detail shop where we deal with the issues there. And that's the thing. Mr. Vasquez was doing probably something similar. He was returning the car to the lot. Maybe he'd gone to have the brakes fixed, or maybe he'd taken it to have it detailed, okay? He was doing the kind of job Carol does.
That's frightening. It's absolutely frightening is what it is. Because when you go to court, you can either elect to get your own magistrate or you can have a jury. And most people's inclination, most people who show up for jury are usually older, retired people, people who've never been in trouble with the law, so they're pretty conservative. They're going to believe the policeman. That's just the way it
works. And by the way, there was a dash cam. Okay? There was a dash cam in the car. The dash cam caught it all. We don't necessarily have audio, but the dash cam caught it all. You see the cops slam the 76-year-old man into the automobile, onto the hood. You see him throw him to the ground. You see him get his taser out. You see him tase the guy. The dash cam didn't do a damn thing now, did it?
Well, no. Well, it didn't do anything for Eric Garner either.
No.
That wasn't a dash cam, but I mean, my God. You could see the man was like, if you saw the whole video with Mr. Garner, Look, you know, everybody, I've sold Lucy's before. And you know, cigarettes are incredibly expensive. When people get out of jail, that's a good way to make a few dollars. You know, you got to pay your fines. You got to eat. You know, 50 cents. You know, you buy a pack, you roll it over. You buy a pack, you roll it over. You know, you're not selling dope.
Yeah.
But but see, you got to understand Staten Island. See, Staten Island is a veteran community for a lot of firefighters, police officers who live in New York City. It's very kind of exclusive, and what happens is generational. Because they leave their houses to their kids and they go into the same type of profession. There's nothing wrong with that, I guess, but they don't really want certain types of people there in the first place. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that tasing a 76-year-old, that alone, what the hell are you thinking about? What, I mean, really? At some point you have to step back and say, maybe this is not a good decision I'm making.
Well, you know, and consider the spot decision. You've got a 76-year-old man who has done nothing wrong. You're in the wrong, but he's not being sufficiently obsequious to you. So, you know, he needs a good electrocuting. That'll get his mind right. All right, some of this stuff really is straight out of the movies, Todd. I mean, this is Cool Hand Luke stuff. You have got to get your mind right.
Well, like I told you before, you know, when the sun goes down, I'm usually in the house. I'm really risking my life and freedom when I go out at night here. And it's a sad way to live, but you know, it's just people have to come see me. I'm not going to be out. You know, they don't want to see me on the street. You know,
probably not a terrible idea. Not a terrible idea at all. Well, Todd, it is awful good to hear from you, and don't you ever hesitate to call in, you hear?
Thanks, Bob. You take care.
All right. You have yourself a good evening.
Okay.
Bye now. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan? Yeah. Oh, let's see. How do we... we got 13 minutes before the program ends, and yes, I guess we'll carry it over in tomorrow. There is a $75 challenge on the table via Steve. Thank you very kindly, Steve. Steve will happily double the first $75 that comes in between like 8:30 or so, you know, 17 minutes ago. And, well, I was going to say 9, but now it'll be, you know, tomorrow evening. Let's see. And remember, the wild rice premium is still on the table. Thank you, one and all. I have not received it yet. I will put it out as soon as I do. How to end a Moran Monday? How about with a phone call? Let's go to the Gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hey, Devin.
How's it going?
It's going.
At least it's a lighter week so far than last week.
Well, don't get ahead of yourself. There's plenty of potential here. It's only Monday.
Yeah. Well, wait for the Friday dump.
Usually it doesn't take much past Tuesday. No, your timing is perfect because I had one last Moran Monday story, and you're probably going to love it. It is the story of the young women of Delta Gamma on the campus of the University of Maryland at College Park, you know, the Terps. The terrible Terrapins. And it's the story of a birthday party, Devin. The young women of Delta Gamma at the University of Maryland wanted to celebrate the birthday of one of their members, one of their sisters, one of their very, very white sisters. And so they made her, I guess it's her 21st birthday. And they made her a 21st birthday cake that was comprised of tiers of stacked up wine and beer bottles and little airline mini bottles of liquor at the top. And it's all cute and decorated in pink and green. And down at the bottom, in cute, curly Q script, it says, "Suck a nigga dick." And that is N-I-G-G-A, which apparently, you know, is part, which is not, the, I don't know, the same, I guess, as the two G's, E, an N, an I, and an R that isn't ginger. Vice President of Public Relations for the University's Black Student Union, Samira Johnson, said, "I didn't know it was okay for white people to say that word now. Who knew?"
Yeah, that. I mean, you know, they could have just said, you know, have a chocolate bar or something. I mean, you know, why did they?
How about happy birthday? I mean,
yeah,
not to be old and cranky or anything, but.
That's got a trademark on it, though.
Carol notes, the note just came in, "I once made a suck-a-crack-a-dick cake, but it was too small to feed even one." She'll be here all week. Don't try the veal. Don't forget to tip your server.
Oh, wow.
No, this just,
well,
so it's 2014. This is the campus of the University of Maryland in College Park, and the ancient, entirely invented sexual race dynamic is still in play. Because, you know, I guess all these precious little white DGs, that's what they're called, DGs, Delta, Gamma, are sitting around, what, fantasizing about, what is this, Mandingo?
I guess it's a forbidden fruit or something exotic to them. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and there's a larger conversation to be engaged in for which I am not at all competent and do not have the expertise at all about the use of that respelled epithet. But it is all over the place. And I have had to opine from time to time that no, that's not okay either. But it is all over the place. And proof that it's all over the place is that it has now made its way to a... Oh, by the way, the wine bottles and the tiers of the beer bottles and they're also surrounded by little white cupcakes.
What? They didn't have the the little penis candles and the little candies.
Right. But I mean, you'd think you'd get some chocolate frosting somewhere along the way.
Well, yes, you'd think. I mean, you know, did it make a? Did they open some of shake up and open some of the beer so that, you know, they would?
No, no. Our little DG is just sitting there smiling like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush next to her sucking cake. Nothing's been shaken. Nothing's been opened. Nobody has. I mean, her eyes don't look like they're bleeding and they're half welded shut from all the dope she's been a smoking.
Yeah. Well, you know, anytime you start using those Greek words, you know.
Now hold on a dang minute. I didn't know that was a Greek word.
Well, no, not not the one starting with an M, but, you know, the other ones.
Dick?
You know, the...
That's Greek?
No. No, the, you know, gamma and, you know, all the rest of them. I just think about, you know, it's just radioactive. So.
I'm just wondering what Delta Gamma's crest motto is.
You have to have all kinds of radiation to, you know, maintain all that identical appearance, you know. You know, the radiation, it just cooks off every imperfection, you know.
Oh, their motto, the Delta Gamma motto, Devin, I just found out. Carol just suggested, what's their motto? Bitches be Greek? No, their motto is do good. but you know, the goddess of irony does not rest. This may be the Delta Gamma chapter at the University of Maryland in College Park, but Delta Gamma was in fact founded at Ole Miss University in December 1873. Actually, it was founded at the Lewis School for Girls, which was nearby to the University of Mississippi Stan, which wasn't admitting any of the women folk.
Yeah, I can't have any of them uterus people showing up. I mean, you know, that just wouldn't.
Yeah.
That dog wouldn't hop, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But
somehow or another the cake story has not been edited onto the Delta Gamma Wikipedia page yet.
It'll get there.
Note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. You'll probably appreciate this. The subject line is shh. He says, remember as Madeline Kahn said in Blazing Saddles after her turn with Sheriff Bart, it's true, it's true.
Yes, yes, yes.
Baby, I'm not from Havana. Yeah. Well, time to get out of here.
Living the clean life.
What's happening in the clean world? Oh, God bless Richard Pryor. Oh, we're awake, but we're confused. Yes. Devin, have yourself a good night, man.
All right.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Our buddy Devin calling from elsewhere in West Virginia, Stan. Time to wrap up. Thanks for joining in for a wonderful conversation. What's happening in the clean world? We need to work that into. That needs to be its own program in the week. I don't know where we wedge it in, but it needs to. At least it needs to be a clip. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Devin. Thank you, everyone, for your participation this evening, your conversation. Titanic Tuesday tomorrow, of course. And, yes, remember, a $75 matching challenge is on the table via our buddy Steve. Thank you, Steve, very kindly. Steve wants to get out front and stay out front. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Bessie, moderators in the Horn chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you, John Fox, recently having completed a move. He is now a Novocastrian. Glad the move went smoothly, John. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you, Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.